Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given each one of us to come and to hear your word, to have fun. Father, I thank you for your Spirit, that he is our teacher. It's not about Mr. Francis. It's not about Mr. Nuremberg. It's not about me. Father, you must speak to us by your Spirit. And Father, we're trusting you to do that in this session now, that it would be Christ that is glorified, that all of us, including myself, would be drawn to him. We love you, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes that we would see you. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, over the next 3 days, three morning sessions, we're going to be thinking about the topic of pursuit, or pursuing. Now, when you're pursuing something, you have a goal in mind. There's something that you're trying to attain. And because it's something you're trying to attain, you're making decisions. If you're in a race, for example, then you, if you're a hardcore runner, you're eating correctly, you're training for the race, you're making decisions that influence your life. And these next 3 days, the overall topic is going to be pursuit. We're going to be looking at pursuit, and we're going to look at three different things that the Word of God says that we should be pursuing in our lives. The fact of the matter is we're all pursuing something, right? Some of you are still in high school, so you're pursuing a degree, and you're working on your homework, you have tests, you're doing things that are helping you to attain that goal. So the question arises then, if we're all pursuing things, are we pursuing the right things? Scripture says life is a vapor. It's here one moment, it's gone the next. Now, some of you are probably thinking, it seems like life is taking a long time. Maybe you can't wait to get your driver's license. Maybe some of you can't wait until you get a curfew extension so that you can stay out past 10 or 11. You feel like life is dragging on, but trust me, life goes by pretty quick. I'm 26, going to turn 27, 3 years away from 30. That sounds really old, doesn't it? And like life has just gone by. It is crazy. It goes fast. And before you know it, you're going to be in your 20s, and then you're going to be in your 30s, 40s, 50s. Finally, you're going to be on your deathbed. Eventually, right? Okay, so we're not going to get too morbid here, don't worry. Eventually, you're going to be on your deathbed, and you're going to lie there wondering, did I spend my time correctly? I remember a pastor once sharing how, as pastors, you're around death a lot. And he actually was a Navy corpsman in the Vietnam, so he saw death there. And he said, look, when you are there on your deathbed, it's not going to matter how many games your favorite soccer team won or your favorite NFL team won. It's just not going to matter anymore. When you're on your deathbed, you're going to wonder, did I spend my time wisely? Did I pursue the right things? You're going to wonder, did I do the right thing? And you may have regrets, and hopefully you won't. Now, I want to show you a video about a race, and to give you a little bit of background, what's going on. Every year in Japan, where I grew up, we have a race called the Hakone Ekiden, and it's held every January 2nd and 3rd, or sometime during that time. It's a relay race. It's a two-day race. They start up near Tokyo, and they travel all the way down to Hakone and back. And the race is composed of 20 universities, and they break it up so that there are, I think, 10 different people that run it, and they switch off. It's like a relay. It's about 135 miles, so it's not too far, and they break it up into segments there. I want to show you a video of this guy called Natsuki. And let's just see what happens to Natsuki as he runs. Okay, you don't need the audio, but Natsuki is the third one there in the red. This is the last segment of the race. And he's competing for not first place, it's 8th, 7th, 10th, and 11th. Those are the places that are represented there. Okay, there he goes. There's Natsuki. He, the wrong place. He was running in the wrong direction. And for some reason, the internet just timed out on me. But if we were to finish that, you saw him go right. He should have kept straight. He was following the TV van, is what happened. And he was within 200 meters or so, maybe 200 yards, of the finish line. And so he follows that TV van for a little while, and then he realizes he's following the wrong thing. But at this point, he's in last place of those four. And I should mention, with this race, if you come in the top 10, you're guaranteed a spot next year. So there are 20 universities. The top half are guaranteed to return to this race next year. And so what we saw there was 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. So if he comes in 11th, he blows it for his whole team. They're not guaranteed a spot. They're going to have to earn that place again next year. And so where we cut off, he was pursuing that TV car, and the three runners just kept running on. Well, he realizes it, and he turns around, and he's actually able to come in, I believe, 10th. So he catches up with that last runner there and finishes either 9th or 10th. I don't quite remember. But that's a great illustration of pursuing, right? You know, I wonder if some of you are like Natsuki. Are you following, are you pursuing the wrong thing? Are you following the TV camera car? Are you pursuing the wrong thing? Maybe you have that. You're having that experience, and you're realizing, yeah, I am pursuing the wrong thing. Well, as I mentioned before, we're going to be looking at scriptures that talk about three things that we should be pursuing. And to help us with that, I have a prop here. You're probably wondering, T, what in the world is this prop? Well, this is going to be... it's a signpost. So each day I'm going to put up a new pursuit, a new thing that we should be going after. So today we're going to be looking at knowing Jesus, knowing Christ. That's our topic for today. And we're going to primarily be looking at Philippians 3. But before you turn there, the main takeaway from this session, the main point that I want you to take from this is really it's a question. Are you pursuing knowing Jesus? Are you pursuing knowing Christ? If that's all you take away is answering that question, then that'll be great. If you can honestly answer that question, are you pursuing knowing Jesus Christ? Now, I want to play for you a song that I heard several years ago at a missions conference. It's got some powerful words, and hopefully... at the end of the session, if we have time, we're going to sing this song. So just listen along to this praise song. Thank you. to pause it there. We don't have time to listen to all of it. But those are tremendous words, aren't they? Let me read those to you again. All I once held dear, everything that was dear to me, special to me, everything that I was building my life upon, everything that the world reveres, it looks up to. What does our world look up to? A lot of different stuff, right? Our world really emphasizes body image. All that the world reveres, being in a relationship, you got to be dating if you're in high school. Everything that all the world reveres and wars to own, all I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this, knowing Jesus. Tremendous words there. Knowing Jesus, it's everything is worthless compared to knowing Jesus. And I wonder if someone were to inspect your life, probe your life, look at every aspect of your life, would they say that about you, that you value knowing Jesus? I'm not asking, is it what people think you're pursuing or what you're trying to make them think you're pursuing, but in the times when no one's around, no one's looking, are you actually pursuing knowing Jesus? Do you really pursue him from your heart? That's the conclusion that Paul came to. Knowing Jesus is valuable and it's worth something. And so let's go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you haven't turned there already, we're going to jump to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, and we're going to actually read a whole passage here, verses 1 through 8. And let's get you guys involved. Can someone read that loud and clear? It's really hard to hear in this room. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I appreciate you reading that. Okay, so let's look, first of all, big picture, kind of the context of what's going on. Paul starts in chapter 3 with a command, rejoice in the Lord. And then he moves on from there in verse 2 to a warning. Look out for the dogs. Now, he's not talking about animals, cute little puppies. Look out for cute little puppies. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about false teachers. And what was a big problem in the church at that time was that there were false teachers coming in. And they were essentially saying, you need to follow the law in order to be saved. And so really what that boiled down to was works. Salvation by works. You need to do all these right things in order to be saved. And so Paul counters that teaching here. And he really gives a testimony. He talks about in verses 5 and 6, he gives a brief testimony. What would that look like? If Paul were now in this time, this is probably how you could describe him. He probably had a baby dedication when he was born. He probably grew up in a Christian home and grew up going to church, read the Bible, memorized lots of it. Just a really all-around nice guy and really enthusiastic about events at church. Also, maybe he was a leader in the church, a worship leader, maybe a Sunday school teacher. And so if we were to see Paul now, that's probably a description of what he would look like. But the problem was with all of that, he was very religious, a really nice guy. But again, the problem with all of that was he was living and seeking his salvation in performance-based living. He was trying to earn his salvation. He was doing all these things to try to earn merit with God. And he was trusting in his own self to save him. He was doing all of this just so that he could be saved. He was his own savior. But then something happened. And we don't get that described to us here. That's in Acts. Paul's conversion experience isn't mentioned here. But look at verse 7. Paul comes to this conclusion, and this is what he says. But whatever gain I had, whatever spiritual merit I had before God. Again, talking about this performance-based living. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, that word for lost here is very interesting in the Greek. At that time, they used vessels, ships, right? They didn't have airplanes to take things here and there. And so they would have cargo ships, and they would load that up with cargo and transport it from one place to the next. Now, let's say that there was this cargo ship that was in a huge storm, a dangerous storm, lots of wind and waves. And basically, when it starts getting really, really bad, you have two options. You can either just hope for the best and ride it out, and maybe you'll survive with all these waves crashing on you and the wind coming and the rain, or you can get rid of your cargo. And the benefit to that is rather than being so submerged down in the water, you'll be more buoyant and you'll come up out of the water. And so the Greek word for loss is connected to this idea of getting rid of cargo. It's going to be a loss. It would be a financial loss, but you would save your life by getting rid of this cargo. You wouldn't go down with the ship, hopefully. You would survive. You'd be getting rid of all that extra weight. But the problem with getting rid of that cargo, again, you're going to lose money. Whenever you get to your port, your destination, there's going to be a loss. Going back to this verse here, verse 7, Paul's saying, you know, whatever good I thought I had done, whatever merit I thought I had, I got rid of it. I threw it overboard. It wasn't worth it. And I chose Christ. I chose life in Christ, real life. So he's getting rid of it. It's a loss to him. All that gain, all that merit is a loss. And you see, if you're going to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have to stop being your Lord and Savior. You got to get rid of your merit. You can't rely on that to save you. If you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can't look to yourself to be your personal Lord and Savior. Again, performance-based living. You can't try to be your own Savior. It doesn't work that way. It's not just that Paul said that everything in the past I count as loss, but notice in verse 8, I count everything as loss. Why? Why does he count it as loss? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Notice Paul's mentality here. Everything's a loss compared to knowing Christ. Christ and knowing Christ is so valuable. Everything else, it's not as valuable. It's not worth as much. Do you see Paul's intensity? Do you see his mentality here? He valued knowing Christ. Okay, for basically the rest of the session, we're going to transition into understanding what does it mean to know Christ? What does that look like? And got a couple of points here. Okay. This is a very special friend. This is Dino. And Dino, no, he is not my teddy dinosaur. I had a teddy bear, and I lost him. And it's okay. I'm able to sleep at night. Maybe we can form a search party after this and look for him. But this is my brother's teddy dinosaur, Dino. I'm borrowing him for a little bit. And Dino's really special. He was made, I think, by a family friend, if I remember correctly. He's been with the family for years. He's traveled to and from Japan, I think, probably several times. He's, like I said, handcrafted. Now, just based on what I said now, do you really know Dino? Probably not, right? You haven't got to pet him. You haven't got to hold him. You haven't gotten the chance to look into his red, white eyes and to hug him, to snuggle with him. You don't really know Dino, but yeah. So this is Dino. And I'm going to throw that to Joel. And Joel, you can pet Dino. See, now Joel really knows Dino, right? Better than the rest of y'all. You've never even touched Dino. But now Joel knows Dino. Dino. He's been able to experience Dino. He spent some moments holding Dino now. He knows Dino, right? Knowing Christ isn't just knowing about him. Knowing Christ isn't just reading about him in the Bible. Knowing Christ involves a personal relationship with him. It's a relationship. For me, I grew up, like Mr. Johnson said, as a missionary kid. And I grew up going to church for a while. The church was in our house. And when I was about 10 or so, my parents encouraged us kids to start having a quiet time to read our Bible, to write down, you know, things that we observed from scripture passages. And, you know, growing up, we'd always pray before we would eat. So I knew the name of Jesus, and I read about him. But it really wasn't until I was about 13 or 14, the age of a lot of y'all here, that Christ became a reality in my life. He opened my eyes. And rather than just being a word that I would say, rather than just being this word on a page, Christ became a reality in my life. And since that time, it's been a journey of getting to know Christ, growing with him, not perfectly by any means, but it's about a relationship. If you're looking at Philippians 3:8, the word for know here, this Greek word for know, has the idea of progression in knowledge, and it implies a relationship between the person knowing and the object being known. A Bible scholar by the name of John MacArthur, he wrote this about this verse in his study Bible. To know Christ is not simply to have an intellectual knowledge about him. Paul used the Greek word that means to know experientially or personally. Now, it's not that Christ is here necessarily bodily. You know, he's not in a body anymore. But physically, spiritually, we can know him. We can have that relationship with him. Not only is knowing Christ about a personal relationship, but when you really think about it, knowing Christ is a privilege. It's a privilege. I'm going to borrow an illustration from another Bible scholar by J.I. Packer. But imagine meeting someone who is you highly respect, someone who you really look up to. And I just threw out this example, the Emperor and Empress of Japan. It would be an honor and a privilege to be able to meet the Emperor and Empress of Japan. If I were to meet them, I would probably be shaking and wouldn't look them in the eyes. You know, it'd be very intimidating. But let's imagine that you got to meet someone that you highly respect and look up to. You'd probably be nervous, too. You'd probably let that person initiate the conversation. You'd probably kind of be a little reserved, just in awe of being in their presence. You might want to get to know them, but you'd probably be a little shy. It'd really be up to that person. If they want to be quiet and sort of formal with you, then that would be okay with you because just being in this person's presence would be amazing. Now, if the person begins to become personal and share what's on his heart or her heart, that would be even more amazing. And, you know, what if just he begins to or she begins to share what's going on in their lives? Wouldn't you take that as like a privilege? Like, they're opening up to me. This person that I highly look up to and I admire, they're actually relating to me. They're actually talking about what's going on in their personal lives. you would feel very special and cared for. It would be a privilege. Guys, we have the opportunity to know the living God, the creator of the universe. We have that opportunity. It's a privilege to be able to know Christ. And it should excite us. It should be something that we are excited about. Now, not only is knowing Christ a privilege, but knowing Christ, it involves a commitment. Again, I'm going to read you a quote by J.I. Packer that I found really, it was great. I really like this quote. And here's what he says. To get to know another person, you have to commit yourself to his company and interests, and to be ready and be ready to identify yourself with his concerns. I'll read that again. To get to know another person, you have to commit yourself to that his company and interests, and be ready to identify yourself with his concerns. Isn't that true? If you want to have a friendship with someone, a relationship with someone, you have to do things together. You have to commit to being their friend. You have to go out of the way sometimes. If you really want to get to know someone, you have to communicate. You're committing yourself to their company. Who knew Jesus best when he was on the earth? Well, if you think about it, it would be probably his earthly family and his disciples, right? Really, his disciples. They knew him the best. They lived with him for about 3 years. They got to watch him interact with people. They got to see him do these incredible things. They saw just his normal life, too. They got to know Jesus. But do you remember what it involved for them to get to know Jesus that well, that intimately? It involved a commitment to follow. When he called them, remember, follow me, it involved them having to let go of what they were doing to go follow him, to know him. And so following and knowing Christ, it involves a commitment. Turn with me real quick to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 21. 14, verse 21. Does someone want to read that maybe on this side of the room, real loud and clear? John 14, 21. Okay, so what do we see here? What is Jesus saying? This is Jesus talking. The person that keeps God's commandments, that has them, that keeps them, it's him that loves God. It loves Jesus, and he'll be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And notice what it says there next, and manifest myself to him. Now, what that Greek word there is, emphanizo, and it's a combination, the origin of that word, it's a combination of two different words. And on one side is in, which means in or intensive. So en, but it means in, in or intensive. And then the phano part, the second part here, means to shine. And so what is Jesus saying? I will manifest, I will inwardly shine myself. I will manifest myself to him, to that person. Another Bible scholar by the name of Vines, he writes this. This verse here that is talking about the manifestation of Christ by the Holy Spirit in the spiritual experience of believers who abide in his love. It's Christ being manifest. It's like a lampshade. A lampshade, when you turn a lamp on, a lampshade glows. Why? Because there's that light inside. There's an inward light that's shining out. And Christ will do that as we love him, as we commit to him, as we obey his commandments, as we live by his word, as we follow him, he will manifest. He will inwardly shine in us and to us. So knowing Christ, it involves a a commitment. But knowing Christ is also about grace. Mr. Anderson, he touched on this last night. God has to do the work. God's got to initiate. There's a part of us, but there's a part with God. He has to open our eyes. And he wants to do that. That's the thing. He's not hesitant. He's not trying to hide himself from you. He wants you to know him. And so there's a component of his side and our side. And so it's a matter of grace. It's a matter of God revealing himself and causing our eyes to be opened. Okay, we're about to wrap it up. And the last point I want to make is going back to Philippians 3. So go ahead and turn with me back to Philippians 3, verse 8. So we've thought about the surpassing worth of knowing Christ and what that means. But we don't want to forget this obvious truth here. Again, that we can actually know Christ. The possibility of knowing Jesus. That's what Paul experienced. He knew Christ. It's possible for you and me to know Christ. And it wasn't just Paul's experience because he was an apostle. It's an experience that we all should be having, knowing Christ, in a relationship with Christ. There are other examples in Scripture. So turn with me back into the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. The people of Israel are with Moses at Mount Sinai. And Moses is conversing with the Lord here. And we'll start in verse 12, Exodus 33, 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you. In order to find favor in your sight, consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." You see, Moses had that same ambition that Paul had. "Lord, show me your ways that I can know you." And you remember, God did that in Moses' experience. God did that. He revealed himself. And we read about that later in this chapter. Moses asked, you know, "Show me your glory." And God did that. God passed by. You remember that? That when God passed by Moses, and you know, he said, "You can't just see my face, but you can see my, you know, for no one can see me and live, but I will pass my glory by. And you'll see my face or my back." Do you remember? It's not just Paul's experience, but it was Moses' experience. And it's not just those two either. Just think about Abraham, a man who knew God, a friend of God. Think about Enoch, who walked with God and was no more. All these people pursued knowing Jesus, pursued knowing God, and they found him. And they continued wanting to know. They continued wanting to seek to know him. So yes, it is possible for us to know God, even us here living in America, in Greenville right now at this conference. It is possible for us to know Jesus. All right, so in conclusion, we're just going to kind of review some of the places that we've been in this session. First, we looked at that song, right? Knowing You, and we're going to sing that after we get done here. And we saw that in those lyrics, there was an intensity of someone knowing, desiring to know Christ, seeing everything else as worthless. All that the world reveres is nothing compared to this, knowing Jesus. Then we saw how that was really Paul. And more than likely, the writer of that song got that from Philippians 3:8. Paul had that same longing. He was trying to earn his salvation based on performance-based living, maybe like some of y'all have done, doing all the right things. But Paul came to this conclusion that whatever gain, it was a loss. It was like it was only worth throwing overboard in order to be saved. It was worthless compared to Christ and being found in Christ and having his righteousness. And we saw that, what does it mean to know Jesus? Well, it's not just knowing about Jesus and just reading about him or talking or saying his name, but it's a relationship. It's knowing him personally. And we talked about how it's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's an honor to know Jesus. We also saw it involves a commitment on our part, that it's going to involve following him, going on his path. We saw as well, it's a matter of grace, that God has to open our eyes, and he does initiate. He has a part, but we also have a part. And then we saw that we didn't want to lose sight of the fact, the amazing fact, that it is possible for even us to know Christ. And Paul talked about that in Philippians 3. Moses and others in the Word of God are described as ones who knew God, and it's possible for us to know him. So again, let me ask you that question. Are you pursuing knowing not just about Christ, but actually knowing him? Is that your pursuit? Is that one of your pursuits in life? Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to sing that song, Knowing You Are All I Once Held Dear. Father, I do thank you for the wonderful honor and privilege it is to know you. It's so amazing that you would be willing to be known. Father, I pray for myself and for each one here in this room. Father, enable us to strive after that, to not just pursue other things, but to pursue you. Father, I do thank you for that promise that says that as we live by your word and we seek to know you, to follow you, you will manifest yourself to us. I pray that would be the experience of each one here, that you would manifest yourself to us. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.